This is the Xbox One Patriots postgame show with Mark Bertrand.
Left foot forward for the quarterback, takes the snap, retreats in the pocket, under a rush, throws across the middle, touchdown, Rob Gronkowski! He spikes with emphasis!
The Patriots postgame show is your source for instant news and reaction following every Patriots game.
Smith from the gun, under pressure across the middle, that pass to the near side, picked off, a juggling interception, and it's the rookie Logan Ryan on the run, to the 15, to the 10, to the 5, into the end zone! Touchdown, Patriots!
Join the conversation by calling the Ace Ticket Hotline at 855-PATS-500 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com.
Shotgun snap to Taylor, eludes him and careens into the end zone, and Chandler Jones picks it up, and Chandler Jones has a touchdown!
Now, live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios, here's your host, Mark Bertrand.
Welcome into the Xbox One postgame show here on Patriots.com. I'm your host, Mark Bertrand. I will be joined shortly by both Paul Perillo and Andy Hart. They will be joining me here in the Xbox One postgame show after a Patriots loss in preseason game number one of 2014. 23-6, the final. Redskins get a win. And it's game one of the preseason, so we don't put a lot of stock, if any, in the final outcome, in the final score of this game. But there are plenty of things to talk about from this game tonight, and we will do so for the next couple of hours with your interaction as well. Make sure you hit us up on the phone lines at 855-PATS-500. That's 855-PATS-500, the North American toll-free number. You can also reach us locally at 508-298-0398. That's 508-298-0398 or 855-PATS-500. Also, send your emails and your thoughts on this game tonight between the Redskins and the Patriots to webradio@patriots.com. Let's never play that drop again. That would be my suggestion, Kevin. webradio@patriots.com is where you can reach us on the web. You want to send in an email. Give us what you thought was good, what you thought was bad, what you thought needed some improvement. I will say this up front. This is not the Patriots' full team. That seems obvious, right? But there were a lot of guys that did not play in this game tonight in preseason game number one. As Andy and Paul make their way into the studio, there are a lot of guys that didn't play in this game that you will be seeing in coming weeks, that you will be seeing in the regular season. So that's why I say, especially in a game like this, you don't put any outcome on the final score of this game.
I guess you don't have to worry about those mallet trades.
That is entirely meaningless. The biggest story to me coming out of this game, and I'm sure it is for
game
you guys
day Garoppolo.
Too, is, well, I think it's all one thing. One, mallet was bad, and Garoppolo was good.
Yeah, and I think... But the one thing is, Mallett has been bad in practice, except for what Mike Mayock saw. Garoppolo has been bad in practice. Really, really bad in practice, and was good on the field. So you can't just discount the bad in practice, but he showed up tonight. And that's what I was saying earlier. I really think he's a guy that in a month you may feel has made major strides from literally the crap we saw the last couple weeks on the practice field. Because I can't emphasize enough, he was really bad on the practice field. But I think he's a guy that you're going to see these leap. You know how Bill always talks about, you know, some guys it's a slow grab. I think he is going to make big progressions at certain points.
Well, he certainly did tonight. We were talking about it during one of the breaks, Mark. And I said, you're looking good, because he and I disagreed on that. I feel like you couldn't trade Mallett right now because...
Oh, I don't think you could trade Mallett right now.
Well, no.
No one wants...
But not for that reason. I've been a big advocate of that. He has no trade value. He's never played. So if he's not going to be playing, then it doesn't... You know, he doesn't have any value on the market to me. But I didn't think Garoppolo... Garoppolo has been way over his head in practice. Now, tonight, Andy's right. You know, he showed tonight that... What he talked about, what was the possibility of him being maybe at a dramatically higher level a month or two from now. On the game field, he looked like a whole different guy. Now, I don't want to get too lost in it. I know who he was playing with, and I know the situation that was out there, but that's the situation he's out there on the practice field, too.
Especially
and he wasn't able to do that on the practice field.
Especially
he was
in
able
Washington,
to do it tonight,
where it was very distinct ones versus ones. twos versus twos, threes versus threes. He was facing threes on the practice field and not looking
and
good.
And not looking good.
Tonight he was facing twos, threes, whatever the mix was, and looking pretty good.
Yeah, and I know a lot of people will probably start asking some questions about a guy they probably have never heard of in Brian Timms. He has shown up.
Yep.
He came in during training camp after they lost the receiver, Greg Orton, another guy who most people probably aren't familiar with. He got hurt, and they needed another body or two. They signed Cole Stanford and Brian Timms, I'd say on maybe the third day of camp or so, second, third day of camp.
Ish.
Cole Stanford is already gone. Timms has flashed. He's made some plays, made a big play right away on Monday in the joint practices with Washington during one-on-ones with the cornerbacks. He went right down the field and he made plays just like he did tonight.
It's the Xbox One postgame show here on Patriots.com as we dig into this game. I'm sure the Mallett and the Garoppolo performances tonight will dominate the conversation, but it is time to get to not just those two guys, but the good, the bad, and the injured.
Now it's time for the good.
Nice!
The bad.
You don't talk to me, all right? Knock it off!
And the injured.
I've fallen, and I can't get up.
On the Patriots postgame show with Mark Bertrand.
Did you know the good, the bad, and the injured existed, Andy?
No.
Now you do.
I don't know anything about what's going to take place over the next 2 hours.
Welcome to the postgame show, my friends.
Well, until I change it.
A rather self...
By the way, Paul Perillo right again, by the way, the two-point conversion thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I pointed it out.
That was a lock, though. The only way that was almost not a lock was when Beetle it was 23-0.
Beetle missed it, and I looked up, and I was half asleep, and I looked up, and I said, are they going for two?
And they did. And it didn't work out. So let's start with the good. Jimmy Garoppolo is certainly on the good list from this game. You have to be happy with the way that guy played.
Yeah, and he has – I don't want to get all weird, but he certainly has an air about him. And I think there's something to that, that smile, that glimmer in his eye. He doesn't seem to get down. He's talked a lot through camp about that next play up mentality, kind of that cornerback thing. And he's had to because he's had some pretty – bad plays. We joked about it the other day. Very first snap of third versus third in Washington, boom, hits a corner in stride for a pick six. But he goes right back to it. He doesn't have the Mark Sanchez, so just gotta go stop sucking so much with putting his head down.
You want to illustrate?
And I like that.
Want to illustrate that too? That what Andy's talking about. Yesterday, he spoke to the media after practice. He and Mallett both. Garoppolo was talking to us, and I think it was our own Dan Roach. Who asked him about his, you know, getting his opportunity to play in his first game and, you know, any butterflies. And he sort of looked at him quizzically and he was like, no, there won't be any butterflies. It's a football game. I've played in a lot of them. And he didn't say it with necessarily like an arrogance, but a confidence.
Yep.
Do you know what I'm saying? It didn't come across. It didn't rub anybody the wrong way. And I think he was being genuine. I've played in football games, guys. This is just a football game. That's the way it sounded to me.
Yeah. Right now, I actually like his air better than his skills. I still think he has a ways to go.
Oh,
was it his first throw that was behind Justin Jones? I mean, there's still work to be done. I'll tell you one thing. He certainly seems to have a nice little soft touch on that, not true deep ball, but sort of that intermediate deep ball down the sideline, the wheel route or the go.
He threw three really good deep balls.
I like the look of that. He got screwed out of a touchdown. I still think that was a touchdown.
I agree.
The first time.
Yep.
I don't think the ball hit the ground. Great concentration by Timms. They hooked up later. So, yeah, I think if you're going to start with positives, you start with Jimmy Garoppolo and – you might finish with Jimmy Garoppolo.
Give some love to my boy Malcolm Butler.
Well, we got to get to that. But also, Timms, the guy we just mentioned, even with the touchdown that should have been a touchdown being brought back, finishes with five catches, 119 yards. He was targeted six times. He made five of those grabs. And the one we're talking about was ruled incomplete.
From Timms to Timms. Quentin Simms last year was the superstar. This year it's Timms.
Not to be picky, but that one wouldn't count. That was a penalty. So that wouldn't count.
Oh, there's a penalty on that one. As I wrote right here in my notes, is it this year's version of Quentin Simms?
Yes.
You know, is Brian Timms anything that's really going to
I mean, I just want to also
contribute.
He's not even a rookie.
When the games are real.
This is a one. This is a guy that's bounced around a couple different teams, been with the Niners and maybe the Browns, bounced around a little bit. So it's not even like you're looking for that Kenbrell Tompkins, that diamond in the rookie rough. I don't want to. To me, it's Garoppolo and that is something that has a lasting possibility for this team. Literally after that, I think you change to whatever your next soundbite is and go to the negatives, because I think the rest was...
What about Malcolm Butler? You didn't like Malcolm Butler?
Yeah, I thought he was
fine. Andy doesn't like him because I like him.
No,
I'm convinced of it.
No, I don't dislike him. I think he's very feisty. I don't think he's great.
I didn't say he was great. Well, I'm talking about a young
Aldrick Robinson guy toasted him twice with ease in practice this week, and that may have swayed me. And the other thing is, I thought
we were ignoring practice for the goods.
He gave up a touchdown.
We did with the quarterback, did we not?
Well, do we also just ignore when he allowed a guy to be open in the end zone for a touchdown and the quarterback just decided not to throw it anywhere near him?
When we're talking about, you know, some of the positives from this game, I think you have to kind of look at where your baseline
in this game,
expectation
I would say in this game, he was targeted about seven times and had really good coverage, I would say, at least five of the plays.
Yeah, Paul. I don't know if Andy
knows. Now, cornerbacks, that's pretty good.
But we're supposed to talk about the game that happened tonight. That's kind of
no. Only when it benefits his argument.
That's what we're kind
of now. Listen,
for.
This is your second year. You should understand how the world of heart works. If it benefits his side, then it's relevant. It's just like when we use Belichick quotes for our advantage.
We're just going through everything that happened.
I think we should just trade Revis. That's what Malcolm Butler.
It's what routinely happens right
here. I don't think he's
going to
make the team. I'm just talking about a young guy who played well.
The reason Revis didn't play is because we have Butler.
Butler's pushing him out. What do you want me to tell you?
Very sensitive about Malcolm Butler.
It's because I took a shine to him very early in camp, and he doesn't like it.
We're just looking at what we saw tonight. Where were some of the good things that happened on the field? Where were the bad? We're getting to there. We're getting there. You know,
I just think we need to save a lot of time for the bad.
Well, we have all kinds of time.
I have a significant bad that I know Andy agrees with, and I'll let him take it away. Logan Ryan.
Logan Ryan. I think we just again overstepped our bounds.
That's okay. We'll start with the bad. Go to the bad.
Well, I think this is a game where it was pretty bad. I mean, we'll probably put Garoppolo on the cover and try to pump it up as, the good story, but they got outplayed virtually everywhere in every facet of the game, made mistakes with penalties, mistakes with turnovers, put in the ground. Paul was joking that Roy Finch, when he got in at running back late, was looking for the trifecta, put the ball on the ground three different times. Was that not on air?
I was not on the air when I said that.
Matt Chatham was when he said, I'm going to get rid of the headset and give you guys the go back on the stick.
Right.
Yeah, Logan Ryan, because a lot of these guys, we can argue about Malcolm Butler, whether he's relevant in any way, good or bad. Logan Ryan's supposed to be relevant.
That's
Logan
why
Ryan
I said it's
was
a
out there
bad.
As a guy who should be a part of your defense,
There's a difference.
It's slot corner, outside corner, or even safety, and he was really bad.
He didn't cover well.
He did not tackle well. He had penalties that were declined, but those can cost you when you're getting those. Logan Ryan, who I think has had a decent camp, was pretty bad tonight.
Yeah, except for Mallett. It's people that played badly in practice showed up well in the game, and people who played well in practice didn't play well in the game, except for Mallett. He was bad in both.
What about Brandon Browner? I mean, we've talked about him being
really good in practice, he got a penalty on something that he's done 100 times worse in practice. Literally 100 times I've seen him, either in the spring or now, absolutely mug somebody, and then he got a ticky-tack one. If they're going to call that on him, he can't play the corner position.
I didn't think he played particularly great tonight.
I don't think he's been particularly good in camp.
And that's why I said, I don't know if you had the audio up to hear our great insight on the television.
I did.
When Dennard gets out there, I think there's a legitimate battle for who the starting corner is. I know a lot of people have anointed, even Richard Sherman. I mean, you got two number ones over there because my boy Browner is really a number one. Well, I haven't seen it. I've seen a big guy, but I haven't seen a great cover corner. I think when Dennard can actually get out there, he's going to give a fight to save his job.
When he first signed, a lot of people thought he might move to safety. Is that still going to be a possibility for this guy?
I don't think so. He's never played safety. He doesn't want to play safety. Right now, we're not even talking about him being able to move around. He's talking about the fact that I played the right side in Seattle, and he's practiced the right side here. I'm not sure the guy has much versatility other than mug people at the line of scrimmage, and that's what I do.
If he's eventually faced with not playing because Dennard or others are playing ahead of him or moving over to safety...
How do you know he's going to be good at safety?
I don't. I'm
covering
saying,
space and is if his before, skill set is mugging people at the line and beating people by being physical and not allowing them off the line, that does not translate to safety, where you're 12 to 15 yards off the line and can't mug people. If you're at safety and you touch somebody, it's automatically illegal contact. There is no 5 yards because you're not touching anybody within 5 yards. So I don't just assume a guy that seems to lack some quickness, lack some fluidity, not be great in space is going to be great as a safety. The one thing he does is physical at the line of scrimmage. The one other thing I will say is occasionally because of his length, he can get back into plays. When he lets a guy get by him, he sort of takes a step and throws an arm, and because he's so long, can get back into it. But he has not been great this summer in training camp, and I'm not anointing him the starter.
Before we get to Ryan Mallett...
Did you get that Diet Pepsi?
I acquired it during the course of the game.
I think One Direction just left. There were like 12 limos lined up out there, and we were walking from the studio to here, and we're getting waved
and
out
everybody
of the way
was
by
waving
everybody
us through.
Like, what are you people doing walking?
I think they were in the midst of their encore, and we were sort of, you know, going to be
the way,
in the way.
Like we were going to bump into, which I would have not known if they were a roadie or One Direction, because I have no idea who they are.
There was one hanging outside the door earlier tonight, and then I just...
Some bloke?
And then I don't know, I guess he was acting like he was a big deal, and I think he was. I just looked up a picture of them, and it's definitely one of them.
Which one?
It's
they all have, like, weird names, right? Well, there's, like, a Harry, but then there's other, like...
I'll look it up, but one of the One Direction kids was right outside our studio.
Doesn't that make you feel good, though? That makes me feel good. When somebody who's, like, a superstar, and I don't really give two rats ass who you are, like, it makes you feel, like... somehow better about yourself. Like,
really? That makes you feel better about yourself?
I don't need to bow down to you. You're just some bloke from England.
Peering into the windows of his soul.
Yeah.
Makes him feel better about himself.
How about the offensive line tonight? I thought they were terrible.
It's another bad one.
I thought that one was significant.
And
we're talking about significant bads. I was alarmed by the
way.
And
another important one when his name is Nate Solder and he's getting beaten by Brian Arakpo.
He was number one on the list of the guys who did not play well up front.
And he didn't play all that well during the week against Brian Arakpo.
That's, to me, the bigger...
And I don't think Brian Arakpo is elite. I think he's good. I don't think I would put – if I had to say, okay, I'm going to start listing my top five pass rushers, he's not in it. You know what I'm saying? He's
a good player, though.
Mid-elite, but he's not
okay.
the best. You
no,
don't
he's
say,
not the best, but he's still a very
good
player.
He's a good player, but that's why –
isn't Nate Solder supposed to be a
mid-to-best
tackle? See, I don't think Nate Solder's ever really proven that, though. I don't think he has.
Nate Solder.
Has he proven that?
Pretty good
in his career,
but if Nate Solder is going to be what Andy and I talked about during the pregame show and be knocking on the door of being a Pro Bowler, he needs to be able to do better than that against Arakpo.
I mean, he's going to make just under $8 million next year.
Yeah, he's going to make
a lot of money. Tom Brady's going to make $9 million,
and to me,
he's going
to
make almost the same much as Tom Brady.
The thing that
doesn't even make sense to say much.
There, Andy.
The thing that is troubling to me about the offensive line tonight is. You might look at it and say, well, they had a couple of moving parts, and they had three starters, with that first group. They had, for some reason, Cannon played like the first two plays, then Vollmer came in. But Vollmer, Solder, and Conley were out there to start.
You think
and
that's,
they had,
like, any chance that's like a silly thing? Like he was in the bathroom and didn't get out in time.
I don't know. I don't have any idea.
Like we make these into big deals, but isn't there a possibility like his shoe wasn't on?
So I'm not going to get overly lost about the trouble they had protecting the passer tonight because of some of the moving parts. But if you watched during the course of the week, it was the one area that I thought that Washington really controlled in the joint practices at Richmond. The one-on-one battles that they had, offensive linemen against defensive linemen, both sides of the ball, by the way. Line play, not just the offensive line for the Patriots, the defensive line too, I thought got controlled by Washington in some of those one-on-one matchups. And the only time that Brady did not pick apart Washington were on plays that he would have either been sacked or forced to throw the ball away.
So your starters up front were Solder and Cannon at the tackles, Klein and Devy at the guard, and then Dan Connolly was the center in the first half,
right.
And then Ryan Wendell was the center in the second half of this game up front for the Patriots.
Right. And like I said, for whatever reason, Vollmer came in on the third snap, I believe,
right,
for Cannon. So for the better part, those series early on that Mallet was a part of, you had three starting offensive linemen, and you had Kembrell Tompkins, who was one of your frontline receivers. You had Brandon LaFell, who was another one of your frontline receivers, top four. Along with Amendola and Edelman, who didn't play, and obviously you didn't have Gronkowski.
Let's talk about something that we did talk about off the top. First, let's play this sound. We've mentioned it a bunch of times tonight. What happened on NFL Network earlier this week? Mike Mayock had this to say about Ryan Mallett. Here's what he said. Play that.
I think it's the other way, Andrew. Ryan Mallett popped to me today. Okay, this was a guy drafted in the third round out of Arkansas with first-round arm talent. His issues were off the field. In the last 3 years, we haven't heard a peep out of him, but what's happened, I mean, I was blown away today. I saw a legitimate NFL starting quarterback today backing up Tom Brady. So as the season progresses and we get closer to draft time and what the Patriots can or can't do with him, I think they drafted Garoppolo for a reason as an insurance policy. But trust me, Ryan Mallett's a starting quarterback in this league, and he popped today.
Now, I don't trust you.
I
because you're flat out not right, and I think you're fibbing. So I can't trust you.
We talked about this in the pregame show, but here's how it ended tonight for Mallett. He was 5 of 12. While we talked about Garoppolo, he had a quarterback rating of 134.4. You got Mallett at 55.9. It was a rough night. I know there were some protection problems at time. We talked about the struggles of the offensive line, but Mallett did not look good. There is just, it looks like there is no progression. There is no getting better there. This is the same guy we've watched in the preseason the last 3 years. Yep. He has not gotten any better.
I concur.
I thought on the telecast, Christian Fourier actually made a really good point. There was one, I think it was the second series. The first one, unfortunately, one of the better plays that Mallett made, the third and long, yes. He stepped out of pressure, was running forward, which is not necessarily his forte, made a nice throw. Low where only his receiver could get it. Would have been a first down and got called back for holding. I think Klein got called for holding. Then they end up having to punt on 3rd and 17. The second series starts off with a very easy little Tom Brady. We've seen it a million times, literally a million times. Just a little, you know, play action dump off for what's going to be, if no tackles are broken, 5, 6, 7 yard gain. And here you are in a nice, I can do anything, 2nd and 3, 2nd and 4 kind of situation. And he threw it right into the ground. Directly, I think it was toward LaFell.
Yes, it was LaFell.
Right into the ground, wide open, no pressure, just inaccurate. And that's what happens. He's so inconsistent in practice. And I don't mean to beat up on him, but I'm a little annoyed with the clip that we just played because it's sort of insulting to the people who are watching practice every day. To say, like, I used to play in the NFL, and I know more than all of you. This guy popped. He didn't pop. He hasn't popped at all during training camp. He just hasn't. And I think he has gotten more comfortable in the offense, but he still is so inconsistent with his accuracy that I don't see him moving this offense on a consistent basis. This offense is predicated on completing that little pass. It's why Drew Bledsoe was not great in this offense. Because there's a lot of short timing stuff that you just have to complete to make sure you get the progression going. It's not just about throwing one dart on 3rd and 10. That's what he can do, but if you do that too often, you're not going to convert often enough.
I think that throw that he missed to LaFell is the throw that Kevin O'Connell got cut after the first year for. A third-round pick, and he just couldn't make the throws that are required in this offense. This is year 4 for Mallett, and it's the same thing. Now, I mean, we can you can spend an hour talking about why Mayock is doing what he did and right. Blah, blah, blah. But from a pure Patriots perspective, he may be your backup quarterback now, but I don't know that. I went into camp thinking it was an open competition. I soured on Garoppolo after 2 weeks because he was, and I'll say it again, horrific. But if he can play like that in his opportunities in the preseason, then I'm fine with him being the backup quarterback because I think your season goes down the crapper if Brady goes down the crapper anyway. And
agreed.
Right now, based on one game, one of which was the first game ever for a guy played at anything above the Division I AA level in front of a crowd, anything more than whatever the crowds I got at Eastern Illinois, in his first ever step into an NFL stadium, looked more comfortable and confident and fluid in the offense than the guy who's been here for 3+ years.
Paul and I talked in the pregame show about different degrees of being bad and how it was probably going to be, you know, a lot worse to be dealing with Garoppolo versus Mallett.
Yeah, that was my argument, but it certainly did not come true tonight. Andy was right tonight.
Now, keep in mind,
I mean, I was right
on
board
23-6.
It's one game, okay? There's 3 more of these to play, but...
No, but if you do look at Garoppolo, led 3 drives.
Just based on tonight, though... I know my opinion has started to change on this entire situation, and it's obviously fluid. It could change again next week. But that's the problem.
But
just based on what we saw tonight, it's okay. Maybe I was way wrong about this one.
The problem is, in the spring, I liked what I saw from Garoppolo. I thought he showed a very comfortable attitude in running the offense. Looked like he was under control in the huddle. Not a lot of confusion or delays. And then once we got to the pads and training camp, it's like Paul said, his head was spinning. He didn't know where to go. He's throwing picks. His accuracy is off. And then tonight, I thought he kind of...
We didn't see a lot of that.
Slowed the game down. He even showed you a little bit with his legs to make some
plays.
We
did see a little sort of, you know, panic in the pocket, I thought. But that's what a young guy does. He was able to get out of it. And
I think you see that from every young quarterback.
He had a great play where he escaped the rush.
Right. And I think, you know, Christian Fourier brought up Matt Cassel. And I don't think that's a terrible comparison.
No, the athleticism is, I think,
a good to very good arm and a pretty smart football IQ, run an offense kind of guy. Now, the one thing Christian was way off on is Garoppolo wears 10, and
did he say
Castle
that on the air?
16.
Did he say something about the number on the air?
I didn't catch that part. Okay,
that might not have been on the air.
I was too busy. I was too busy hearing his jabs at Chatham,
and he should take more of
between
those.
Between the first, oh, I don't know anything about Division II schools.
Division II, Matt, you should talk about that.
There was
I wouldn't know anything about
then
it.
Then there was the, I used to run this route, and Matt Chatham could never cover me. There were a couple of nice little jabs in there.
If you were paying attention at all, you could actually see how many times that they disagreed on their opinions, which
right.
I kind of like, because I think there are two sides to a lot of these things, and they try to make it so simple. A lot of times Chatham would say, A, B, and C, and Christian would say, I didn't see it that way, which I kind of like.
I like that. As a viewer, I enjoy it. We did the good. We got the bad. The injured.
Yeah.
Chris Jones. I heard you guys talk about this right before you signed off on the broadcast. The depth, so to speak, on the defensive line, taking a hit with that injury. I really don't think it's a major one.
Well, but the problem is, it's not just the depth. It's you had a couple guys that were the healthy guys coming in. Because you have Wilfork, Kelly, Easley, Will Smith, all coming off injuries. The healthy guys were probably, you're thinking, Salinga, who turned into your run stuffer last year and played pretty well, and Jones, who sort of turned into your pass rusher guy and played pretty well. Well, in the course of the last 2 days, 3 days, those guys got banged up. Salinga looks like it could be more of a longer
term. According
to
some reports, that could be serious.
And who knows with Chris Jones, they announced it as an ankle. It looked like his leg got rolled up on, kind of bent in there. But now pretty much everybody on your defensive tackle depth chart has an injury question. Now, I'm sort of past it with Wilfork. I kind of feel like he's shown enough this summer, so you say, okay, he's just back. If he gets hurt again, it's a different injury. It's not necessarily a continuation.
Right.
But it's just something to keep an eye on.
Phone number 855-PATS-500. I already see a number of calls on the board. We're going to get to those. 855-PATS-500. Send your emails in, webradio@patriots.com. You can send us tweets as well here during the Xbox One postgame show on patriots.com, or get to those calls, get to those emails, and talk about this game tonight, a 23-6 win for the Redskins over the Patriots in preseason game number one. Don't go anywhere.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go. Go. That's it. Come on. Kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
We're NRG, and we're a new kind of energy company. One that's hard at work making the most of renewable sources of energy. One whose solar energy is helping power football stadiums across the country. One that's developing new technologies that can one day turn your home into its own source of power and put you in charge of how you use it. We're putting that power into your hands. NRG, the power to change life.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
Second down, looking for the end zone, and it is caught.
Ryan Tannehill.
We've seen that before. This time for a touchdown, the Patriots get on the board.
Welcome back to the Xbox One postgame show here on Patriots.com. Mark Bertrand, Paul Perillo, Andy Hart. Taking your calls at 855-PATS-500.
Yeah, I meant to ask you about this during the
What's
break.
Up?
What happened over here?
Is it a little wet on the floor?
Yeah.
During the course of the game tonight, Mr. Collins, our executive producer, did the ice bucket challenge.
Oh.
To help raise awareness for ALS. He decided it would be fun to do it in the studio. So he laid down a tarp and he did the ice bucket challenge right here
did
in the studio.
Did he miss the tarp? Because it's all over the floor.
It turned out there was a hole in the tarp.
Oh.
Yeah. So that's why it's a little bit wet.
All right.
All right, so now you know.
And now you know. And
that's
knowing,
the perfect Kevin Collins story.
And knowing is half
the
battle.
Hole in the tarp. that's just him.
There was a hole in the tarp.
You done the ice bucket challenge yet?
No, actually, Kev challenged me in the ice bucket challenge. I'm sitting there filming it for him, and then he challenged me.
So now you have to do it?
I got a day to do it. Yeah, I'm going to do it tomorrow.
Was that how it works?
Yeah, you get one day, or you have to donate.
Now, do you have to tape yourself doing it, or is that like
it's
the look
of
at
deal.
Is that the look at me crowd?
No. Everyone does. That's the
no.
Whole
I know. I've seen it all over. I know what it is.
Yeah.
I have seen it all over, Facebook and stuff. But I didn't know if, part of the challenge was you needed to film it, video it,
Kev
so everybody
also,
could see it.
Kev also challenged Adam Jones.
Why wouldn't you challenge, a hot chick?
Former host of this program.
To dump ice cold water all over herself.
Slowly.
Seriously. And I'll tape it on there. Slowly and let the camera run. Seriously.
And maybe put it in slow motion.
That's who I would be challenging.
Kate Upton, I challenge you to the ice bucket. Let the camera run, would you?
Oh, that's not right.
Well,
by the way, that's the offensive line coach. Googe.
Let's get to some of these calls. You guys have been waiting patiently to talk about this game tonight, and we'll start with Liam in North Carolina. Good evening, Liam.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
What's happening?
Well, could be better. Pretty much everything except Garoppolo sucked.
Well, exactly. You guys pretty much covered everything I wanted to talk about. But first off,
all right, see you later.
That means it's the beginning of the football season that you're back on the air.
It is.
Woo! Glad to hear you. And with Andy and Paul added to it, it's just icing on the cake.
Oh, I got to say, this is, in all sincerity, this is way better having you guys on the postgame show than having just me. This is a much better setup. This is going to be good.
You're right.
It's a great setup, man.
Because from what I hear, it wasn't all that good last year.
No, definitely not. Definitely not.
So, yeah, Liam, what do you give me another positive that you took from this other than Garoppolo?
Well, another positive was that Browder didn't get 1,000 balls on him like everybody expected he would.
We do know he got one, right?
The one problem is he got one, and it was a somewhat ticky-tacky one, and he obviously also didn't play.
I do think that one's going to get called. I mean,
no, I know, but
every
if he
time.
Gets that called, he's in trouble. Yeah, I think he's in trouble.
I'm just saying, I agree with you that it was far less egregious than what he's been doing at practice every day, but I think that's going to get called, whether they have a point of emphasis on that or not. He had his hands all over him.
Then I don't think he can cover.
I think that's my fear. I don't know if it was Chatham or if it was Christian Forrey. I think it was Christian who said, you know, early on, even with the re-emphasis, you're going to get that in the preseason.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to get that in the first few weeks of the season.
Luckily, he'll
be suspended. He's got that situation.
I actually joked about this. Andy and I were talking about it in the tent one day at practice. You know, it might work in his favor because you know there are going to be a ton of them in the first few weeks. And that might, you know, like the Bach call in Major League Baseball.
He can't build a reputation if he's not out there.
Yeah, they might just call a bunch of them, and then it all of a sudden settles down. Well, by the time it settles down, it might be the time when he comes back.
Could be. Or it could be the
time when... work the other way, and he hasn't gotten used to how they're calling it.
And he's terrible.
Or Liam, he could just be a backup corner to Alphonso Dennard.
Liam, what else you got?
Just one quick question. I wanted to call you guys on Tuesday. I didn't get a chance because of work. But do you think there's any real value in really having the first team out there? I think there is. I've never understood why they keep the best players off the field in preseason. I mean, if a guy's going to get injured, you can't just keep everybody in a glass case. If he's going to get injured, it may happen in the regular season anyway. So really, it gives that, you know, especially that with the offensive line and Brady, a chance to really see a game situation and get out there and see how they're gonna do and give them even more practice opportunity before they get to the regular season where it counts. And that's it. That's all I got.
I think what you're seeing is, especially with this phase here of joint practices, they don't need 4 preseason games.
They play their game Tuesday.
They like the scripted environment that is competitive with another football team on the practice field, where they know no one's going to lay out a quarterback. No one's, you know, there's certain things that aren't going to happen. But beyond that, they're getting a pretty high competitive environment.
I agree. If you ever wanted to make the argument that you don't need 4 of these games, just look at tonight's.
Right.
Like, look at who is out there.
I think we're going that way. John Clayton actually wrote a good piece about it on ESPN.com. Saying exactly that. You know, we're trending to 2 preseason games, and they're going to use the joint practices as the other two. And to answer the question, it was Liam, I think.
With an addition of 2 regular season games, I'm sure.
Well, I hope that's not what ends up happening.
I agree.
I think it is probably going to go that way. I hope it doesn't because I don't think they can handle it. But, you know, to Liam's point, you know, you can't keep these guys in bubble wrap. I understand that. But just think about how you feel. If Tom Brady goes down with a torn ACL in a preseason game, that doesn't make you feel worse that he didn't have to be out there as opposed to in the regular season? It could have been prevented. In the regular season, it can't be prevented. He has to be on the field. It could be prevented in the summer. I don't need him out there, and I think Andy makes a great point. You can do everything to – let me tell you something. The first string guys for both teams played a game on Tuesday. It was 3 hours. Brady talked about 80 or 90 snaps. You're not going to get that many reps in a regular game. They played a game, and you made the good point, Andy.
Thank you.
Without the chance of getting your quarterback blown up.
Right.
So you are putting him in bubble wrap. You're able to get the work in without the risk of getting a quarterback
hurt. It's different for
hurt.
A quarterback, though, isn't it? I mean, it's different for Tom Brady than, let's say, I don't know.
Oh,
you say Darrell Revis, right?
No.
See, I think it is.
No, I don't think it's different for. I think it's different for a young quarterback than a guy like Brady.
Yes.
But it's not different for an old quarterback and an old cornerback. They're both
veterans.
Calling
Darrell Revis old?
Well, he's 30. I mean, he doesn't need as many reps in the preseason as, you know, a Logan Ryan does.
Okay,
Logan Ryan needs to be out there still.
So then riddle me this, Batman. One of the guys Vince Wilfork, why is he out there?
Well, I think they wanted to test him a little bit. I think they wanted to test him physically and see where he is.
Yeah, I think that's a
He certainly
weird.
Didn't need to be.
I mean, he was out there.
Him and Tommy Kelly
practicing.
Were the only two that played, right?
I almost feel like he played more tonight than he's played in the reps with the ones. I mean, they've rotated pretty liberally on the defensive line. So that just stuck out a little bit to me when you were without Collins and Mayo and all Ninkovich.
The linebackers didn't play and the ends didn't play.
And then you have a guy coming off an Achilles who's an 11-year veteran and a captain and all
that. Yeah, I think that might have been just a strict test to see where he is. He didn't play that many snaps, did he?
No, I just found it a little weird.
Let's go to Alex.
So how does that – what does that do? He didn't play that many snaps. So what did you get out of that?
Just to get him out there and see how he feels, how he responds to it.
Go through the pregame, go through all that.
You know, maybe it was one of those things that he really wanted to do.
And Kelly, too, by the way. I
mean, yeah, it was him and Kelly. The starting tackles were there, but then the ends weren't. None of the linebackers were there, and then it was Browner.
Right. What week was the Atlanta game last year? It was early.
Four.
Week four. So he hasn't gone through that pregame,
and
you know, getting ready.
Kelly was the next week.
You know what I mean? It's been
Kelly,
a long time for those guys.
Because
he had a slow start.
He didn't start until almost a week into camp. At least Wilfork has been basically doing everything all spring
Whereas
and summer.
A lot of those other guys that had a slow start to camp weren't even dressed tonight.
Right.
You know, like Dennard and
just seems
Slater.
A little weird to me. I'm sure there's a very distinct reason for it. I just don't know that I understand or agree with it.
Alex is in Florida. Hi,
I
Alex.
Say I agree with it, but I think I could understand it.
Alex.
Hello. Hi, how are you?
What's going on?
What's up, girl?
I will take bad football over no football. I am happy that football is back, even though that was a tough game to sit through. It was just no phase of the game did I see anything good. And I say this knowing what I'm watching, which is guys trying to make the team. That being said, I know that you've been saying how wonderful the defense has been doing and how great they were doing, but I see the same things that I saw that were lacking in the defense last year, which concerns me. I would say my goods are Butler, Boharnes, and Timms. Garoppolo to Timms doesn't have that Brady DeMoss feel.
That's the line of the night right there.
But it was still, like, as soon as he came in the game, it was different. Mallett was just, he couldn't do anything, but there was something about his energy.
Yep.
When Garoppolo came in the game, it was just different. It was a different game. I got into it. I got excited. I could not get excited when Mallett was in. He sucked.
You should have had her call every show before we got on there. You would have been all set.
But I kind of agree with everything she said.
Absolutely.
Alex, don't be a stranger.
I mean, what did she say? Butler, Boharnes, and Timms. All three of those guys played reasonably well. Garoppolo, it was clearly different when he came in.
He's got it.
And
Mallett,
he did. He sucked.
Another thing we talked about in the pregame that we're wrong about, or I was wrong about, was the swagger thing. Yeah, you can't have swagger on offense. More of a defensive thing. I'm sorry, but Ryan Mallett still has that deer in the headlight look when he goes out there. It just doesn't look confident.
And that's not okay in year four.
No, it's
that
not.
Would have been had the roles reversed, that would have been, head spinning. That's Jimmy, Eastern Illinois. The whole thing.
Right.
You could have rationalized it. You can't rationalize it for a guy from the SEC in year four who was third. Like, there's nothing there. There's nothing there.
That's why he was the first thing I wanted to talk about coming in here today, because I think this is an important preseason for this guy. And so far, step one was bad. It was downright bad. He doesn't have any excuses anymore to look the way that he did tonight.
And this was a big one. I mean, now Brady's reps increase over the next 2 weeks. He sees action next week. He sees a bunch of action in the third game. And then the fourth game is the fourth game. So, great. Mallett comes out and beats some guy that, as Paul likes to say,
Sonny's.
Will be in a car wash in 2 weeks.
Sonny's car wash.
I mean, you don't want to be over dramatic, but 4 years in, it is what it is.
Doesn't look good.
No.
Doesn't look good. And
I don't think it's being hard. Like you said, you don't want to beat up on him. I mean, it's his job. I mean,
no, I know
the
that.
Criticism
I just...
comes with being a professional athlete. I'm sorry, that's your job.
It's like that one throw. I mean,
like, we stumbled on our words, Paul, and tomorrow if people make fun of us, yeah, we stumbled on our words.
Oh,
we
My first hit tonight was as bad as
we were asking.
Yeah, I was looking down.
It's illegal touching. It's illegal contact, not illegal touching.
Good news out of Orlando, Florida. Dale Earnhardt died.
Yeah, like one of those.
He's a professional-ish.
Right? I say I don't want to beat up on him, but I just like that throw to LaFell, and I'm pretty sure it was LaFell. It was straight into the ground.
Just LaFell to the
I don't perfect. Know how you can miss that throw.
Good job right there.
You know, I thought he had an absolute laser that he uncorked on a late third and 10 in the half, and I even looked at it. It was a great throw. And I even looked at Ian. They go, but look at the clock. I mean, there's less than a minute left in the half. It's third and 10. Washington is saying, hey, I'll give him the first down.
Have it.
There's 12 seconds left in the half.
You know what he is? He's almost like, remember Butterbean, who used to do like those like lower level ball because he was just like swing, knock. That's what he is. He's almost like a circus freak because he does have that strong arm. Like you could hire him if there was some a longest drive guy in golf. They're not real golfers. They don't win the PGA Tour.
No.
What do? They hit the ball really far. He's got a strong arm, but I'm sorry. That doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be the best NFL quarterback or even an NFL quarterback, Mike Mayock.
Johnny's in Duxbury. Hey, Johnny.
How you doing tonight?
Good. You?
I'm doing well. To quote Billy Beane or Brad Pitt, there's Tom Brady, there's Jimmy Garoppolo, there's 50 feet of crap, and then there's Ryan Mallett. Tonight, guys. I swear to God.
Okay, now he's being mean.
Him for a bag of balls right now.
Yeah, I'm not ready to put Jimmy Garoppolo in that.
I was searching Twitter tonight trying to find Mayock's Twitter. He doesn't have one. I was going to troll his butt on Twitter. I swear to God. I tweeted you a time or two. I tweeted at Wallace, who's freaking out. I'm just, I'm trying to take it with a grain of salt. It is the first preseason game. And at the same time, my biggest glaring issue, that offensive line is like Swiss cheese. I'm ready to start throwing silly money at Dante Starnecki to come running back because we got issues. Starting with our left tackle and shoulder. When we drafted him out of Colorado a couple years ago, the scouting report is that he had dude robotic. Well, he looks like, get him some WD-40 because he's a rusted up rock'em sock'em robot. We need him to start playing like a true left tackle. He was terrible tonight. Marcus Cannon wasn't much better. Offensive line, that's my big issue. And I just want to say I'm going down to University of Alabama this year. I'm going to be a freshman there. So I love listening to this show. So keep it up, guys. I love you guys. Roll Tide and go Pats.
All right, Johnny. Johnny, call nice back job, every Johnny. Week, Johnny. Every week. I want to hear from Johnny.
I didn't realize you had such good callers in the post-game show. This is
post-game callers do take.
This is better than what we normally get during the week for PFW and practice.
Do take a
different caliber of caller, Paul.
Yeah.
Different caliber. I agree.
Right, that's a good shots at our regular listeners that take care of us during the week.
Just different.
Johnny and Duxbury.
No shot taken. Just different.
Hit us up.
That terrestrial radio touch Beetle provides.
So good.
Yeah, because terrestrial radio callers are really good.
Actually, I was just thinking.
They're really bad.
If we really wanted to get in trouble.
Yeah, because
for
what
cover,
else?
We should put Garoppolo on the cover, but do it like in a what do they call that? An effect or whatever, so that it looks like a bronze bust. So that it's like Hall of Fame bound. Yeah.
Bill would be like, what?
He would actually be smoking out of his ears.
Inset down the bottom, Belichick with smoke coming out of his ears.
We've got Bill Belichick's press conference coming up here on the program just a few short minutes from now. Apparently he was not, when it's recorded, he said it a short time ago, he was not willing to praise Jimmy Garoppolo. In fact,
as Andy predicted,
he scoffed at some questions related to what was said about Garoppolo. Actually, Nick wrote in on email, you guys should hear Bill's postgame. I dare you to say Jimmy was good to him. Not a happy guy. Great show, guys. From Nick checking in, webradio@patriots.com. Danny from Spain / Danny from Houston.
Keep him in Spain.
With a post-game email. Here's the likes and dislikes from Danny in Spain. The likes, Garoppolo, Butler, who Andy doesn't like.
No. I just...
That's accurate.
Yeah. And Bo Harness. We haven't talked about Bo Harness at all. And
I
Bo
thought
Harness,
Matt Chatham said it
I
all.
I was going to say, Matt, Steve
you
Bo
mean
Harness.
Mike Singletary?
Steve
Patrick
Bo Harness
Willis?
Got an unusual amount of play in the television broadcast tonight. I'm just wondering what you guys thought about Bo Harness's game.
I thought he was fine.
Can I say what Andy said off the air?
Yeah,
about
go
Bo
ahead.
Harness?
Please go ahead.
Oh, great. Another Mayo. Let's give him $50 million. 10 tackles, 6 yards downfield.
The dislike, the Browner, Browner being flagged, Mallett, that rookie punt and kick returner, two fumbles.
Finch. Yeah, where's VIP
Ray.
Strippers? I think he'd be chiming in had this played out a little differently.
I was really sad.
Has he checked in yet?
I spoke with Finch yesterday, and I was really...
That's your guy, right?
I was really sad for him. Especially that first fumble was just.
I'm not sure sad was the feelings that Bill Belichick and Scott O'Brien were feeling. And then you had Julian Edelman touch it up here, look it in.
Do you give him?
And you know Finch is thinking, no crap, look it in. I'm sorry, I missed it.
Do you give him any points at all for, okay, he made two horrific plays, but bouncing back and making a couple of plays after that?
Or
do you just
bit,
say he went out and played?
The loose ball. It's just unacceptable. Yeah,
well, it's inconsequential because he probably is not going to be a main part of the team. And just like Butler, we shouldn't talk about him, right, Andy?
Well, yeah, he's not going to be a main part of the team. He plays like that.
He's probably not going to be any part of the
team. Not going to be on the team, much like Butler. No, let's not talk about
that. He's an undrafted rookie, puts you on the fringe. He's tiny, that puts you more on the fringe. Yeah. And he carries the ball like he's...
Why don't you bring up Taylor McCullough so we can talk about him for the next 20 minutes because he plays both ways now, and he happens to play a position that Andy loves.
Danny's last point.
I don't think he got in on defense.
Danny's last point, lack of pressure on the Redskins quarterbacks all night.
Well, it could be in part due to the fact that anybody on this team who can put pressure on the quarterback was standing on the sideline.
And I also think that Washington ran the ball very effectively.
They ran a lot, it seemed.
You know, how much pressure you're going
to
get.
You guys want to put the middle linebacker in the Hall of Fame, and yet the other team was running the ball down our throats.
Who wants to put the middle linebacker in the Hall
of
Fame?
You guys.
No. I'm with you in
the middle linebacker
part.
Being Bo Harness?
Yeah.
I want to put him in the Hall of Fame?
Yeah.
How many times? What was my reaction like the sixth time we went to Matt Chatham to talk about Bo
Harness? It was almost Tim Tebow-like. Like last year we went overboard with too much Tim Tebow talk. Today it was Steve Bo Harness.
Well, it was right out of the gate, too. I mean, we're like 30 seconds into the broadcast.
And I get it. You wanted to vote. You want to have a little spot. I understand how, TV, you got to have a spotlight or whatever. And that's the guy they chose. But, I mean, how many segments do we have to devote to?
Well, here, Danny's also got some feedback for you on the television broadcast.
Uh-oh.
I don't want to talk about my first appearance.
Anything else is in play. Danny says, I liked seeing you guys on TV. This is a criticism of the producers.
Matt.
We need to pass this along.
Matt Smith,
all right,
friend of the show.
This is a constructive criticism, not a major complaint. The stadium noise is too loud when you guys are talking.
Oh.
It makes it hard to hear you.
Oh, okay.
I could hear you, but, you know, maybe for some, makes it a little bit more difficult.
Okay, good to know. We'll pass that along.
Pass it along to that to the proper
people. I have
people.
A problem with that in general, I've noticed, when I watch a lot of stuff. I have problems with the ambient sound being too loud, so I can't hear the announcers or certain things.
Fox.
Yeah.
Fox games in particular, it's too loud. I'm not a huge fan of, you know, you got to have the mics on the field and the parabolics and all that stuff. And
right,
the,
like
the
you got to hear the crunch
and,
of
you
the
know,
pads.
The rock radio network, and I know that that's it. Like it. It's much more crisp, and you know the sound of it. But the noise
taking
sort of
shots
distracts.
Of your employer beetle.
No. It's what? Everybody. No. It's everybody. That's how it's done. That's like Radio 101. It's not a shot at anybody.
It's modern day game broadcast
technology. Absolutely,
yeah, that's what it is. Everyone does it,
and it's probably why I don't like it because I'm a dinosaur. I mean, I'm definitely
it sounds
old school.
Good if you have your surround sound on. I think it splits the channels better or something. And you get a center channel with the words and whatever.
I don't know what the hell you're talking about. KB's in Atlanta. What's up, KB?
Suck my what?
Hey, we got it. They were looking for the fight between Hart and Burt Beadle. They're getting it.
KB's talking.
KB, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Andy was being rude.
Andy, Paul, you guys look good on TV. Although Paul, you look a little bit nervous and didn't look into the TV right there.
I told
first
you
one.
We're
okay.
Not allowed to talk about my first hit tonight.
Everything
don't
else, understand how it happened.
Everything else is in play.
Oh, I do. Human
gotcha,
nature.
Gotcha.
And I was not nervous at all, by the way.
All right. I just got 3 points, and I'll let you guys go. One, Mike Mayock needs to be fired. Two, my wife watched the last 5 minutes of the game with me and thought Garoppolo was hot.
Yep.
Three, most importantly, what did you guys think of the starters on defense today?
Well, you mean the guys who started the game?
The guys
game.
Who started this
not,
game?
Not the starters for the regular season.
Right.
Yeah, there was only three guys that I think have a chance to start, because McCourty didn't start, right?
Nope.
No, he did not.
Yeah,
no
so it was Browner, Kelly, and Wilfork.
Correct.
So there's only three potential starters, I thought, on defense. Browner we talked about already.
So who started at safety? Chung?
Chung was one of them. And Wilson. Tavon Wilson, right?
Might have to kind of group those guys in as a potential starter.
Okay, so we'll say four.
Yeah.
Yeah. Malcolm Butler's not going to be a starter.
Butler, he should rent.
I'm,
not
just,
buy.
I'm just double checking to look at the list.
Not according
yeah.
to Paul.
Tommy Kelly was a starter.
Yeah, Kelly, Wilfork, Browner, yeah, okay. And I think Andy's right. There's a possibility that Wilson or Chung could start opposite McCourty, so you could count one more.
Let's go to Justin in Virginia. Hi, Justin.
As much as Matt Chatham wants, Bo Harness not going to be a starter.
Bertrand, I missed you, bro.
What's happening, Justin?
Hey, if there was anyone to be good in this game, I'm glad it's Garoppolo. I'm kind of happy that if we got blown out this season, it was in the preseason. But anyway,
kind of happy about that.
But anyway, I got a question for you.
Oh, hey, much better.
Do you think this Brian Sims guy can make the roster? I was watching the game, on play-by-play at work, and I kept on seeing his name come up next to Garoppolo, and it just seemed like when Garoppolo came in the game, it got like 3 times better. He got like 3 times the amount of yards as Ryan Mallett. His completion percentage was better than Mallett, and overall, he looked better.
He did.
Did it look as good?
Yeah, no, he played much better, and it looked much better. Actually, I think he led 3 drives in the second half, and all of them were potential scoring drives. He had the long drive that they ended up stalling on fourth down. They went for it and didn't get it on a play that probably should have been a touchdown before that. That was pass interference. Then they drove down and got inside the 20, I think, when Stephen Houston fumbled. And then they drove all the way down and scored a touchdown. Those are the three drives that I think Garoppolo engineered, right? I don't think they punted when he was in the game. So he definitely moved the offense. It looked much better, and he certainly has a rapport with Timms. Do I think he has a chance to make the team, Timms? Probably not.
Did Josh Boyce look good?
Josh Boyce made a play or two. He had one nice little spin after a catch. Mm-hmm. Maybe got about 8 or 10 yards after the catch on a nice little move. He had another play that the announcers, Christian Fourier, was specifically saying that he probably got himself covered with a cut that he made. Maybe should have gone to a post instead of cutting it flat across and Mallett put himself. And Mallett certainly gestured in that direction. So there's probably some good and bad with Boyce, but he did make a play. He showed up a little bit.
All right, thank you guys. I'm glad that football's back, and I'm happy that Mark Burton's back.
Oh, thank you, Justin. You're too kind. Thank you for the call. There was one drive that they punted on in the fourth quarter.
There was, okay.
Yeah, there was, where Garoppolo had that run, where he picked up 9 yards, and they rushed for no gain, and then the incomplete pass to your boy Finch.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was the one drive that they punted on. I thought there was one in there.
So 3 out of 4 drives they could have potentially scored on.
Wait, was that the...
The fade down the sideline, yes, and the overthrew Finch.
No good.
Badly.
So that's the one drive that they had a punt on.
He probably thought Finch had a second gear and would go get it. Going to start defending Jimmy for everything.
Now he's taking on Finch. You know where this is going now.
Because
he's
You know what Finch is. He's the offensive version of Butler.
No.
Don't get too
Butler's
happy.
Butler's been better than Finch.
Don't get too happy with these guys.
Butler's been competitive.
855-PATS-500 is the phone number. 855-PATS-500. We're going to hear from Bill Belichick coming up next. We're taking your emails at webradio@patriots.com. Taking your phone calls at 855-PATS-500. It's the Xbox One postgame show on Patriots.com.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or Tri-Corner Hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go. Go. That's it. Come on. Kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt. Before she drove to New York. And before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio. Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
We're NRG, and we're a new kind of energy company, one that's hard at work making the most of renewable sources of energy, one whose solar energy is helping power football stadiums across the country, one that's developing new technologies that can one day turn your home into its own source of power and put you in charge of how you use it. We're putting that power into your hands. NRG, the power to change life.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Welcome back to the Xbox One Patriots postgame show, live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Have an opinion on today's game? Call the Ace Ticket Hotline at 855-PATS-500 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now, here's your host, Mark Bertrand.
Welcome back to the Xbox One postgame show here on Patriots.com. Redskins win tonight over the Patriots in preseason game number one, 23-6, your final score. After the game, Patriots head coach Bill Belichick went to the podium, and here is what he said.
All right, well, I didn't think really we did very many things the way we wanted to do them tonight. Just weren't very good in any phase of the game. Had the ball on the ground. Didn't play well enough on defense, didn't move the ball, we're in too many long yardage situations, not good enough in the kicking game, so just overall we got a lot of work to do, that was obvious, and we need to get back to work and see if we can improve really in every area. There were a few flashing moments, not many, but we got a lot of work to do, and I just say that's all of us, coaching staff, players, offense, defense, special teams, everybody. You know, we just got to do a better job than that.
Yeah, Tom, some of those guys who didn't play, did they just get enough quality work in this week to warrant that decision?
We did. We felt it was best for the football team, just like we always do.
What did you think about Ryan tonight, Mellon?
Just what I said.
Coach, were you pleased with the way Jimmy Garoppolo at least moved the offense?
I think what I said goes for everybody. I mean, we'll go back and look at the film individually, but it was, we didn't do enough things well enough, and we got a lot of work to do. I mean, that's obvious. So,
Do you expect to see a better performance given how they practice during the week?
Well, we need to, you know, we need to perform better than that, and we didn't. So we had a lot of work to do.
Is tonight's performance going to affect the practice schedule or anything like that?
We're going to continue to try to get better and address all the areas that we need to address, which is, you know, a lot. I mean, we just didn't, you know, too many penalties, too many bad plays, not enough good ones, no consistency. So, you know, we need to work on everything.
Appraisal of Jimmy Garoppolo's night?
No, we'll go and look at films, you know, see how everybody did. I mean, we give a lot of guys, you know, a lot of playing time. Some guys played, you know, a considerable amount tonight. So we'll go back and evaluate and see how it goes. I'm sure everybody's got a lot of things they need to work on, though. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
Brian Timms is one player who seemed to have a pretty good night in the second half. I know he came into camp late. Just kind of what has he shown you in the 2 weeks or so that you've had him?
You know, he's shown the ability to make some plays, but, you know, again, I think we all got a lot of work to do.
Again, second down, looking for the end zone, and it is caught. The Brian Timms.
We've seen that before. Be an issue early on.
Yeah, I don't think our protection was good enough. I don't think our passing game was good enough. I don't think our running game was good enough. I don't think our run defense, pass rush, kicking game, and they all need to be improved.
Any update on Chris Jones, Bill?
No.
Well, Coach, are you confident? I will ask you this. Are you confident that obviously this team can rebound as you go into week two, the second preseason game coming up this week?
I don't know. We'll, whatever we do, we'll have to prove it. We'll work at it. I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Phil, did you like what you saw from the defensive line once Vince went out? A lot of opportunity for reps along that front.
Yeah, we got a lot of reps. I don't know how well we played them, but we got a lot of reps.
Coach, concerned with some of the opportunities, you know, when you scratch as many starters as you did tonight, number twos, threes, and fours, to have as many reps as they have, and 2 weeks left until that first cut, those opportunities are few and far between. Disappointed in maybe how those guys responded tonight with the opportunity that was given to them.
Yeah, well, Scott, we'll just have to take a look at the film and, you know, take a good look at it. And I'm sure there were some, you know, some things that we did okay, not enough of them, and certainly not very many as a team, but, you know, individually, you know, we'll see. We'll take a look at it and we'll evaluate it. And obviously, we need to improve a lot of things, so we'll get to work on those.
You don't love the result tonight, but productive week in general with the Monday and Tuesday and all the things that went into the process of the Redskins?
Well, I mean, we obviously got a long way to go, so I think that's, you know, that's what we got to do. You know, we got to improve in all areas, and so wherever we are now, I don't think it's where we want to be, that's for sure.
Coach, is there one player that you stood out to tonight in this performance?
Yeah, we'll look at the film and see how it goes. I don't know. We had a lot of guys playing tonight, so we'll see.
Butler, his opportunities. It seems like he defended a couple balls, key passes, so he got his head around. You know, with Reeves not being in there, so he had some quality reps playing corner.
Did he had a lot of reps? You know, I'm sure there were some good things. You know, had a bad penalty, so I mean, we'll take a look at all of it, but I mean, look, there's a lot of young players that got a lot of reps, so we'll get an opportunity to look at the film and evaluate them all and, you know, see if we can sort it out and see if we can make some improvement this week.
Well, is there a challenge when so many young players play together for the first time to evaluate them, you know, when they're not playing with others or doesn't matter?
You know, we had the same prime number of practices everybody else in the league's had, so. Well, whatever it is.
Long way to go. Long way to go.
We've got a long way to go.
That's one of the things that's undeniable. Long way to go. Bill Belichick, very accommodating there. Didn't want to cut anybody off. Kept the press conference alive. Kept it going for another, what, 3 minutes there after it was about to wrap up?
Was it me or, like, in those awkward silences, was he humming kind of under his breath?
I think it was you.
Why don't you play it back
I'm
going
to have to try
no,
to.
No, why, the why, why don't you not play it back for us? We were all dumber for having heard it the first time.
didn't want to cut anybody off. Nope. Didn't want to cut things short, but didn't have a ton to say.
And I can understand, you know, where he's coming from. That was not a good performance. I mean,
no.
You know, when you're the head coach, you're not looking at it as, oh, I won't worry about it because it was all my younger guys. No, they didn't play well. And the guys that did play, and he mentioned it, you know, they didn't throw the ball well, they didn't protect well, they didn't run it well, they didn't stop the run well, they didn't get any pressure on the passer, and they had problems in the kicking game. Anything else?
Well, he kind of started where we started, except he eliminated the fact of saying Garoppolo might have been decent.
Right, right. He wasn't getting
it. But he basically went right to the bad, like I said, because everything was bad.
Yeah. And I can, you know, a lot of people, I'm sure, you know, the Belichick detractors will, you know, does he have to, you know, can he answer any of the questions? Well, no. Like, what was there tonight to sit there and say, yeah, I like this, I like that? There wasn't a whole lot of that. And it certainly was vastly overshadowed by things that he didn't like. So, is he going to put a smiley face on it? I would have had a hard time doing that if I were the coach.
We're going to get to some emails here. We're also going to hear from Jimmy Garoppolo. Obviously, I think most people point to that is the one bright spot in this game, the thing that you look at and say that's a positive development for the Patriots. But here's some of the emails coming in. Mike in South Dakota writes in, I'm very disappointed in the defensive line. Will Fork got handled and looked winded. I won't even get started on the offensive line. We got beat on both sides of the ball. I was pleasantly surprised by Garoppolo, but I'm not seeing Brady 2.0. If Butler can improve on tonight's performance, he could push his way onto the roster.
Not according to Andy.
Not according to Andy. So Mike also says, thanks for working late.
What's that? What?
So you want to align yourself who's not seeing Brady 2.0. So what exactly did he expect? Like, what would have been Brady 2.0?
Yeah,
possible for him to leave the first preseason
so
game
you know,
of the guy's career to say Brady 2.0, but he didn't see
it. Well, wait a minute.
Just so
he's
you
not,
know,
he's not
there
factually
is, in my opinion, there's a 0% chance of him becoming Brady 2.0.
I agree. Well,
0.0.
I mean, there might be a 0.1% chance.
Okay.
But
I'll allow it.
Well, I mean, just, you know.
I know.
I would gladly
there's no Brett Favre coming through that door. Then you got the guy who's best quarterback in football.
Yeah, Brett Favre's no Tom Brady.
I will gladly align myself with Mike and Sodak on that one. Butler might push his way onto the roster, Andy. You never know.
You never know.
Yeah,
I'm
going to start pushing that now.
I don't think he will, but I do think he'll get on the practice.
I'm going all in on this guy.
All in.
Dylan writes in, hey, guys, I like how Jimmy performed, though.
No Brady, 2.0, though.
Jimmy wants a touchdown.
Thought he was solid. Good to see that TD for his first NFL touchdown to Tim's. Good stuff. Hope for a better turnout next week game-wise. Go, Pats. Go.
Who we got next week? Eagles?
Yeah.
That's right. They're coming for their joint practices.
Joel from Connecticut writes in, don't worry, guys. Mallett was just showing Garoppolo what not to do. In all seriousness, though, I think this was Mallett's last chance to prove he's really the backup. He showed exactly what he has showed us every other year. No way in hell. Too bad, such a strong arm. First-round arm talent, according to Mike Mayock.
Well, that's the one thing that Mike Mayock said that probably actually honest and true and factual.
Will only be signing his termination papers. Scotty B. in Huntington Beach writes in, Scotty B. in Huntington Beach wants to know if Vinny Testaverde is available. Hey guys, after tonight, I think I am comfortable with Jimmy G as the sole backup. So
we're a reactionary bunch.
Because
I got to tell you.
I'm still not comfortable.
Watching everything
that.
On the practice field, no one on earth would have been comfortable with him being the backup.
Here's the rest of this
email. I got to give you credit. You were. You said that you were fine with it.
Well, yeah, but that was more a projection.
You just wanted to disagree with me.
No.
So he admits that he was right,
more,
but that he didn't really believe it? Is that what happened?
But it's more an indictment of Mallett.
Oh, that happens
I think
a
Mallett
lot.
Stinks. And I'd rather just go with the guy that's going to be the next 4 years. I don't think. Now, to be fair, I never liked Matt Cassel that last year. I thought Matt Cassel was pretty bad in the preseason that last year here, and I would have cut him. And he came on to be pretty decent for Brady and all that. But I feel like I know what Mallett is, and that's not very good. So therefore, when the season falls apart, when Brady gets hurt, I'd be okay turning it over to the guy who might be my future and just get him reps, get him experience in that time, rather than waste a year when you got, you know, Garoppolo goes 0-4 and Mallett goes 1-3. So, who cares? We're done.
To finish up that email, so how about we revisit the trading Ryan Mallett for Andre Johnson thing? Thanks,
all for
Nick.
It. All for it.
I've been all for that one from the start.
I just don't think that's what they want in exchange. I just don't think they really want Ryan Mallett.
Let me ask you a
question.
Nobody
wants Ryan Mallett right now.
You know, we're talking about guys that played because a lot of guys didn't play. And the running back situation, Ridley didn't play.
Correct.
Vereen played a little bit early and then was out of there.
Correct.
I was thoroughly unimpressed with the two big guys.
Yeah.
Houston and Gray. And, you know, if you're of that belief that the committee and they need a big back like Blunt or a second feature type back, those guys didn't look very good.
I was not impressed.
A fumble from one. Yeah. Gray was terrible. Gray just flat out had got nothing going.
Bad.
So that's another.
I didn't even like the carry that James White had.
Minute concern.
And I like James White.
Just you know, not as big as maybe some of the other issues, but as you're putting together an offense here.
I'll tell you one guy is probably happy, Brandon Bolden, because I think if one of those big guys, you know, sort of emerged a little bit, he could have put some heat on him. Bolden's obviously hurt. He's almost always hurt.
I'd get rid of him, too.
I would definitely.
He's
but
in
they,
the mallet boat for me.
They seem like they
sail
like him.
Him
they think
sea.
He's a good special teams player and versatile and whatnot, and I'm not sure that those big guys, Gray and in Houston, I'm not sure they showed enough.
Yeah, Gray didn't run well in Houston. Put the ball on the ground. That's a cardinal sin.
Yeah,
you don't want to be the guy who's backing up Ridley and have fumble concerns.
Open lines 855-PATS-500, the phone number for you to jump on board. Getting back to you, some of those emails. Hey guys, it's Adam from Brisbane, Australia.
Good day, mate.
Good day, mate. For another,
so it's probably like top of the afternoon to you, though.
Yeah,
or something. They're
I mean,
like
it is
12
daytime.
Hours ahead,
it
right?
is daytime, right? For another subject to
have
discuss.
Have another VB,
right? Is that it?
Yeah, Victoria Bitters, right? Yeah.
See, I know.
It's good memory.
I know my Aussies.
He writes. Adam says,
"I can't handle the post game.
I really think Boyce is only surviving if Dobson is on the PUP to start the season. Tompkins looks far more confident on the field than Boyce, and I still don't see this elite speed that we've been sold on Boyce.
Ding, 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 ding.
Boyce didn't look good tonight.
Boyce never looks good.
Yeah, I'm
Boyce
with that.
Never goes and gets good. The ball. He had
not
one the
fan.
Other day. Brady threw a deep ball to him, and it's almost like he started stumbling rather than getting into that extra gear. I just don't see it. I agree. A guy that's supposed to have elite speed, I've never seen it.
I have been a backer of Boyce, and I have not seen the consistency on the field. I also, however, have not seen consistency on the field from Tompkins. I don't know what anybody – I don't see a discernible, improvement. I don't know what – I guess I'm in
At
the
least
minority
Tompkins
that.
Gave them a little something in the regular season last year, right?
But Boyce didn't play, so he didn't have opportunities to do
that's
it.
A problem.
So that's different to
See,
me.
The problem I have with Boyce is he's supposed to be a deep threat. And I don't see that.
I don't see I don't see that speed on the field.
And as an intermediate receiver, I see the same inconsistencies and drops that I see from Tompkins. So, what puts Boyce ahead of anybody?
I don't put him ahead of anybody. What I don't understand is the infatuation with Tom. Like on a night like tonight, Tompkins caught a couple of passes. Boyce caught a pass. What did either one of them do to stand out from the other? Like, why does everybody say, Tompkins made a couple plays and Boyce was disappointing? Like, neither one of them did a thing.
Right.
Like, what? Why is one of them like so head and shoulders above the other?
You can't eliminate what Boyce has done.
Oh, no, nothing.
And what
Boyce has done, nothing.
Has done.
Yeah.
Like, you've actually
Next
seen
to
Tompkins.
Nothing.
Well, he's been a competitive player on an NFL field.
Yeah, I don't think it.
I don't think
I don't
Boyce
think it ever
that
looks
yet.
That way.
Well, it
me.
Doesn't. I still say he has the 85 disease that goes back to Ocho Cinco and Brandon Lloyd. It doesn't look right when that guy runs the routes and does stuff.
I think Tompkins is better than Boyce. I'll say that.
Okay.
But I don't think that's saying a whole lot.
Right.
Let's put it that way.
Right.
I don't want either one of them on my team. Let's put it that way.
You don't want Tompkins
they're both,
on the
they're
team?
Both going,
have one of them
they're
on your
both
team.
Going to be on the team. I don't want either one of them because I don't think either one of them are NFL receivers.
I'm not sure
not what I've seen.
Boyce is going to be on the team if Dobson gets back.
Well, I think Dobson's going to. Yeah, that was the emailer's point. I think Dobson will open the PUP, but even if he doesn't, I think they both
have
on the
VB.
Team.
Have VB.
Because I don't think they have, you know, getting back to the running backs, that's where you're going to get roster spots. They don't have enough NFL running backs either. So,
is this some weak joke or an autocorrect to start this email? Hey, guys, Janine Garofalo instead of Jimmy Garoppolo. Do you think that was like a phone correcting?
I know a lot of people do that. That's sort of like an internet thing.
Why?
Well, I've also heard people say it on the radio and stuff, like mess it up. I don't think they do it intentionally.
All right, well,
I've heard people call him Janine all the time.
But I've heard people say Jimmy Garofalo.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's
different. I've heard people call him Janine.
Intentional. Janine Garofalo, not Garoppolo. As in the actual Janine Garofalo. Really led the team in the second half.
He's better looking than she is.
I have to agree with him on that, too.
Not going
to
disagree with this point. I was very impressed by him, especially after all you said he sucked in camp.
See, this is what I mean.
I knew this was going to go right up Paul's tailpipe.
Right?
Now
the practice performance was we all evaluated.
So we're all in on it, though.
Yeah.
Because Mayock was saying stuff that wasn't true about Mallett. Now we were all saying stuff that wasn't true about Garoppolo. You just can't believe the media anymore.
Do you think he will beat out Mallett on the depth chart? Love the show. Jay in Mass.
I don't.
If you do one of those instant reactions, you know, during political debates where they put that little thing on the bottom of the screen in the blue and the red and it goes up and it goes down? Well, right now I would give it to Garoppolo because I'm the instant reaction and I'm on the way up on him.
That's the beauty of you, though, because I've gotten a lot of enjoyment out of watching that over the years.
That's what I do.
It is. And I like that. I think that's good.
Mike,
what are you doing over there?
South Dakota. Mike and Soda.
Allergies.
Reaching back out to us after we talked about his email, in which he said he doesn't see Brady 2.0. He writes, technically Garoppolo's first performance was better and considerably better than Brady's.
By far.
Garoppolo, 9 of 13, 1 TD, 69%, 157 yards. Brady's first outing in 2000, 1 for 3, 33%, 6 yards. Andy, I'm not sure why I feel that way. Maybe it's the eyeball test. Although he wasn't throwing floaters like Hoyer or holding onto the ball too long like Mallett. Kid might have a future.
Kid might have a future. I hope so. Otherwise, it was a terrible pick.
Email coming in from Dan in Virginia. He's emailing us from outside FedEx Field. One comment, one suggestion, and two questions.
Jeez.
There's a lot of stuff here.
A little presumptuous that we're going to do all that.
Comment. Mike Mayock can be relied upon to do a great job of stalking college players and their coaches / mothers / dry cleaners / gynecologists and so forth. He cannot be relied upon for any analysis more insightful than I love this kid's motor. Suggestion. What our team and fan base needs is a kick-ass theme song that sounds like it was written and sung in the 1920s. Is that something that the Redskins have going for them?
Hail to the Redskins.
I'm assuming that's what he's talking about. Question.
I don't think we should be patterning ourselves after a team that's about to lose its name.
Question number one.
Do they have to lose the song, too?
Hail to the
Washington football team. Something
that's
like
why
that.
People keep saying Buckskins. If you use Buckskins, it kind of fills the void for everything.
Does Tim's have a shot at making the roster?
No.
Second question.
Well, if you guys are going to get rid of Boyce, then why not?
Because Butler's taking that spot.
Butler's not a receiver.
The second question is why are the Patriots not good in the preseason? Which I don't think is necessarily true.
It's not true.
They went 3-1, I think, last year.
And Bill Belichick's got a pretty decent record in the preseason.
No, it's irrelevant.
I'm going to disregard that.
Good or bad, but
they're generally pretty average.
And why would you care if they were horrific? Who cares? They win 12-14 games.
Well,
he also wrote
he thinks that what they do in the preseason is a little too vanilla. And they should be.
The fact that you got your ass kicked was vanilla.
That's what all teams
blown
all,
off the ball was vanilla.
But
how about you make a tackle?
If you want to like get into this, I don't really think it's all that relevant.
Competitively speaking, it's smart to be vanilla.
And that's what all teams do in the preseason. Right. If you're asking, you know, why the Patriots have had some not played as well in the preseason as they do in the regular season, because I don't think man for man in a lot of cases they match up. I think that the strength of their team, number one, is Brady, who didn't play tonight, by the way, and number two is Belichick's game planning and his ability to game plan week to week. They didn't do things tonight to take advantage of Washington like they would have in the regular season. And I think, you know, overall, as a 53-man guy, you know, and this expanded to 90 now, I don't think the Patriots are overwhelmingly more talented than most teams they play. I think that they're much better coached and they have a much better quarterback.
Let's talk to Chris in Nebraska. Hi, Chris.
Hello.
Chris, what's up?
Not much. I've been listening for about 12 years now, and this is the first time I've actually called in.
Wow. Why did you choose this special night? Jimmy Garoppolo, wasn't it?
No. Mostly because I just wanted to say Browner is only going to make the roster because of his 4-game suspension.
He's going to make it because of his 4-game?
Explain that to us,
I need
please.
An explanation on that.
Dennard is a clear starter. Like, Dennard is far and above Browner. I mean, Browner just, I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do with him. I just don't feel he has much talent at this point. Maybe they can cover tight ends with him or something like that. Another point, Ryan Mallett, what the hell? All he does is throw balls to the ground.
This is the best call ever. Ryan Mallett, what the hell?
I think I found out why this is the first time he's called. It's the first time he's been coherent.
Oh.
I hear you, buddy. I'm with you.
Does anyone coach him up? Like, stop throwing the ball just to the ground?
We got to get to McDaniels.
I think you should write him an email.
Dane Fletcher and LeGarrette Blount are just two of the biggest mistakes to let go in free agency.
Who is this?
All right, thanks for the call.
Thanks, Chris.
You may regret LeGarrette Blount. I don't think you'll regret the Dane Fletcher loss.
Oh, you won't regret that one. I agree with Andy. You might, if something happens with Ridley fumbling the ball, you might want to have Blount back. But don't make it be 12 years between your next call now.
Ryan Mallett, what the hell?
What the hell?
That's like a soundbite. Ryan Mallett, what the hell?
We need to make that a soundbite. That needs to happen. Don't go anywhere. It's the Xbox One postgame show. Right here on Patriots.com. We're gonna get to Jimmy Garoppolo. We'll hear from him coming up next.
That's good.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie. 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go. That's it. Come on, kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
We're NRG, and we're a new kind of energy company. One that's hard at work making the most of renewable sources of energy. One whose solar energy is helping power football stadiums across the country. One that's developing new technologies that can one day turn your home into its own source of power and put you in charge of how you use it. We're putting that power into your hands. NRG, the power to change life.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
Have a hot take on today's Patriots game? Hit up Mark on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 855-PATS-500 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now, back to the Xbox One Patriots postgame show. Live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium, here's your host, Mark the Beetle Bertrand.
Welcome back to the Patriots postgame show presented by Xbox One here on Patriots.
That's not the way you've been saying it all night.
Yeah, switching it up.
Good for you.
Switching it up. Coming to you live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Patriots lost tonight in their first preseason game against the Redskins at FedEx Field. We promised Jimmy Garoppolo. We're going to get to Jimmy Garoppolo right after we talk to Nick in Worcester. What's going on, Nick?
Hey, can you guys hear me?
We can hear you. Loud and clear.
Well, it's very rare for me to make a call. This is Nick Baby Love. I'm in the music business, and I'm calling because I wish you three would get together permanently. You're all excellent. I just, from the bottom of my heart, somebody who's disabled, you're bringing the good. You know, Mark, you've improved tremendously, and I love Andy and Paul.
Well, thank you.
Wow.
And I just hope I can... you know, stay in touch now. Now that this is rare for me to do this, you know, but...
I appreciate it.
From Worcester, but I've lived the last 25 years or so in Miami, so you can imagine what it's like for me with all these Dolphins and Heat fans and all that. And yes. I go around with all my Boston gear.
Well, screw them.
Oh, but please, I mean, they're still crying about LeBron. And, speaking of Dan Le Batard, you know, I think he's going to be kind enough to set me up. I want to go to the Pats. Is it the first game here?
Yes.
Yes, September 7th.
The most important thing is I'm going to call in regularly, and I wish you guys would do more. Like I said, Mark, you add a lot to the two knuckleheads in the afternoon. You just, when I'm standing outpatient and all that, you know, Felger and Maz, you just bring a lot to the program, and obviously I've listened to you and to Paul, you and Andy quite a bit, so I just it's hard to believe I'm picking up the phone, because all you got to do is Google me, and you'll see one of the biggest YouTube channels in the world, and unfortunately I'm disabled now, but I'm the biggest Pats fan in history. So don't forget that.
Well, thank you for calling. We appreciate it. And we're going to be here every post-game show the rest of the year.
We're going to
make this regular.
Every game.
Every week, Nick.
Every game, Nick.
Well, look, at my word counts. I'm telling you, you guys are really good. I want to pick up the phone and call. You guys are really good, and keep up. Just keep it up. That's all I can say.
All right, Nick. Thank you.
Thank you, Nick.
That might be the nicest call we've ever gotten. And I got to tell you, when it started, I didn't think it was going in that direction.
No, I didn't either.
I thought it was going to be, and I'm going to tell you something. You three, and I didn't think it was. That's how we started, and I didn't think it was going to go the way it finished. Very much appreciated, though.
Should not have a show anywhere. Never mind on the internet.
You three
guys
should be
are terrible.
That'll give us a warm feeling.
And that's a huge Patriots fan, by the way.
The biggest
Patriots fan out there.
And a big YouTube channel.
Yeah. I'm guessing we're going to be hearing from Nick again.
I hope so.
Right here on the show.
On the regular.
You know how it goes with us. Give us a couple compliments and you're in.
Yeah, you'll be at the front of the line every time you call. Let's get to the rookie quarterback who looked pretty good in his debut, even though it was a preseason game. Jimmy Garoppolo. Here's what he had to say after the game.
It was tough. Losing like that isn't never fun, but it was a good experience for the first preseason game, and I had fun out there.
How do you think you did?
I did all right. I mean, there's a lot of stuff to improve on. It's the process. So, I mean, for any rookie quarterback, there's a lot to learn from, and we'll go watch the tape tomorrow and fix those things.
Even though it's a preseason game, Jimmy, can you address the speed, the tempo with which the NFL game picks up?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely fast. Faster than college, that's for sure. So, it's something that you just have to adapt to, though. And, you have to adapt quickly in this environment. And, we're doing a good job of that, I think.
What do you like about Brian?
Was
it a whirlwind, or were you able to take one thing away, maybe?
I mean, it was still football. At the end of the day, it's 100 yards long, 53 wide. So, I mean, you got to go out there and just play football and can't overthink it, really. Mm-hmm.
Not just playing.
Yeah, it was really cool. Parents, brothers, grandpa were all here, so I mean they got to see it, and looking forward to seeing them. I haven't seen them in a while, but it was a great experience.
It seems like you've built up a little chemistry with Brian Timms. Could you comment on that?
Yeah, I mean the offense we struggled at times today, but we were clicking at times too, and it's stuff to learn from, stuff to it's a process, so we're trying to take it in stride and just keep getting better really.
How long do you feel like it took you personally? All that nervousness, stress.
After one or two plays, I mean, it's just football. So, I mean, you just got to go out there and do what you always do, and, the rest will take care of itself.
Why has Timms been able to earn your trust out
there? All the receivers, I mean, and they're a great group of guys. So, they all come in, work hard every day and everything. So, doing that really helps build trust in the quarterback-receiver relationship.
One last question, and we're done here. What do you remember about the
Brian ran a great route. Line gave me plenty of time. I don't think anyone was even near me, and, the rest took care of itself, and it was a great play.
All right, guys. Thanks.
How many more times are they going to try an angle to get this guy to say, I was nervous, the nerves got to me? He seems like a rather cool character.
The 100 yards long, 53 yards wide is that's a little bit of a go-to. It's football. That's his line. I like that. I really like that. He's not overwhelmed by the moment.
He has poise.
Yeah.
At least it sounds
and
that
I
way.
Thought that and
he puts on a good face even if he doesn't.
Yeah, listen, that doesn't mean he can play. And we'll find out, and tonight was a great first step. Back in the spring when he came here, he had that kind of poise when he was dealing with all of the media in his face. He didn't have 1 ounce to me of apprehension. And it's something that and I'm a big believer in this, Mark, and Andy is too. We talk about it all the time. That sort of face of your franchise that the quarterback needs to be. It's the CEO. He needs to put forth a good fit. You need to be confident in that guy. When he talks, he needs to elicit confidence. And I think that he oozes that. I think you can feel that poise just by standing there and listening to him. I think that's something that's a good part of his game. I think he's a lot like Tom in that regard. And maybe, was it Mike in South Dakota, the Brady 2.0 guy?
So
maybe, maybe that's what we're talking about. Maybe that's what he's talking about. He has a lot of Brady-like traits. Now, it's a big difference between having the traits and being able to play like them.
Plus, you have those all-time great connections. I don't know whether it's Montana and Rice. And remember Peyton Manning and Marvin Harrison just looked at each other and knew exactly what they need. Now you got Garoppolo to Timms.
Not quite Brady DeMoss. Who was the girl that was?
Alex.
Alex. She was awesome.
Great call. We have an email from the Ukraine, Andy.
Nice. Hope all is well.
Andrew? Yep.
And it's not signed, but it says, hey, guys, I heard your invitation to make use of the Ukraine toll-free number, but I was falling asleep with an earbud in my ear. With a seven-hour time zone difference, midnight is a little late to make a lot of noise in the house, but getting up early this morning, I would like you to reassess how you think Jimmy and Mallett would do in a brief absence by Brady. As for me, I'm good with two QBs.
I'd be scared poopless for either of them to have to come in right now, because I do think
it is. Oh, by the way, it's Andrew in the Ukraine. I'm sorry. It was
That's what I figured.
That's our boy. We got our boy over there.
Thank you, Andrew.
I don't think either of them is ready for ones versus ones action right now.
I would tend to agree. I felt going into this game a lot more strongly than I do now that I felt Mallett would be by far the more ready of the two. But based on what I saw tonight, there's still so many inconsistencies to the accuracy with Mallett.
And I would like to revisit this.
I'm not sure it's as big a gap as I thought.
I would like to revisit this after August and see.
Oh, yeah. It's not a snapshot.
I think there's a chance that I'm going to say I'm okay with Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah. There's a chance that I'm going to say what Andy just said, that I'm scared poopless for either one of them to be on the field.
855-PATS-500 is the phone number. We got open lines if you want to jump on board. We got about another 15 minutes or so on the program. 855-PATS-500, webradio at patriots.com is the email address, 855-PATS-500. This week, the Eagles are coming to town, and there will be joint practices this week. So much like we saw tonight, are we going to see the starters not play in the next preseason game, too? Are we going to be missing a lot of guys
I think
next
you
week?
Will see the starters play. The first quarter, not a ton, maybe a few series, but I think you'll see most people play.
Game number two.
Now, maybe, if anybody has anything minor, Paul brought up the point that Revis tapped out late the other day, sort of limped off, stumbled, whatever, in the 3-hour workout.
And had enough that day.
Well, whatever.
Well, it looked like he had some sort of issue, not anything major, but he made his way slowly to the sideline.
Other than that, I expect to see most top-level players out there next week.
I would, too, at least for a little while.
Jeff is in Vegas, and he is on the line. He checked in earlier, but...
Oh, and he won his bet.
We were talking about that during the game. Off-air, of course.
I was not in the studio yet when Jeff yelled in. What's going on, Jeff?
Hi, guys. How are you?
Celebrating your victory?
You buying us lunch on Tuesday?
Yeah. I wouldn't go that far. preseason plays aren't that big, but luckily for me, Mallett cooperated. Jimmy G almost, he should have really had 2 to 3 touchdowns in that second half. It could have been a little bit sketchy there.
Yeah, it could have been.
If he had played the whole game, he might have lost.
Anyway, an interesting breed of callers. This time of night, maybe that's what it is. Maybe late night, some new blood calling in, sort of some odd birds, if you will. Not that we all aren't.
Was going to say, look at you pointing fingers.
Yeah, hold on, Jeff in Vegas. Mr. Regular.
But, guys, two things. Really enjoy having Paul and Andy along with Mock on the post game. You guys are doing that all year long.
All year long. Every game.
Woo!
And it was nice. Nary a complaint from Paul. He must be getting home later than ever, I'd imagine. Plus, you have to write after this.
Yep.
Yeah, we'll see how that goes.
We're the hardest working men in Boston sports media. 8 hours of live radio and television tonight, followed by some writing.
Whose idea is that?
I don't know.
Jeff, looking to get the inner workings here of the...
I don't know. We just decided it was an evolution that we needed to take in our analysis.
Yeah, I think it's great from a fan's point of view. And then also, guys, just that that real-time, joint practice real-time podcast was awesome. That was really,
right.
Really
enough about that.
A great listen.
People were pumped about your... Jeff, thanks for the call, man. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye, guys.
All right. Maybe we got to do it this week from the home... Joint practices, Paul.
People have been all over that.
What did they say in the know-it-all tent?
What did you do that was so good?
I didn't do anything that was so good.
I may actually have to go back and listen to this podcast. Because I took part in the first hour.
You want me to tell you? This is what happened.
The only part that was good is when you left.
Oh, yeah. That's what your mother said.
This is what happened.
That doesn't make any sense.
Kevin would take emails and calls. He basically would just read the email or, you know, we'd listen to the call. I would answer, and as I was answering, and I would say, and as we speak, Ryan Allen working on some plus 50 punting right now. First couple not going so well, couple of touchbacks there. Oh, and what a great play by Revis breaking up a long ball in the end zone.
Sounds like scintillating radio.
But what was happening was a lot of the people that a lot of the players that the people were asking about and talking about would then make a play, and I would talk about Justin Jones flashed in a play. Someone had just asked a question about that, so it kind of morphed into a little bit of a play-by-play of what was going on at practice, which I don't think if anybody heard they would get upset about. But Christy Berkery, who's a member of the media relations department, who happened to be sitting next to me when I was doing this, standing next to me in the tent, you know, we got finished, and she's like, wow, that's amazing how much you guys just, like, 2 hours, you just – sit there and talk about all that stuff. She goes, anybody get mad at you for doing the play-by-play? And I hadn't really even given it a thought. You're not supposed to sort of record play-by-play of practice while it's going on. Like, you're not supposed to tweet.
Yeah, you're not supposed to say live on the radio what you're seeing. We had a little incident like that last year when we were on the radio and Tom Brady had that little tweak of the knee, and we broadcasted it to the world about 30 seconds later that there had been a tweak of the knee.
Right.
Which, by that point, there were so many people at practice. It was out.
Which I actually think is legal now under the rules.
I don't really understand the rules.
Major events or something are supposed to be allowed, but this is probably a different topic for a different
people have been tweeting during practices throughout training camp. We still do not. I wait till after practice, and I might rattle off, Andy might rattle off 2, 3, 4 just observations.
Well, because things might change,
but
right?
Everybody
like
else.
You see one bad play from a guy, and then he makes
right.
Four
right.
great plays.
And they don't
at
want
the end
you,
of the practice, you want to put that in context and say, yeah, he had one bad one, but he had four great
yeah,
ones.
And they don't want they don't want you to say, oh, Brady just left the field, and then all of a sudden he's back 2 minutes later, and then
my bad, he had to poop.
You know, so but maybe your people, they might have seen that he left, but they didn't see that he came back. Do you know what
we
I'm saying?
You guys were
but
there.
I'm talking about on Twitter. You know, like if you right. say, Gronkowski just left the field on the cart. And then, like Andy said, well, it was just because he, you know, had to go to the bathroom.
So I'm gonna start the rumor now that Paul is gunning for Bob Sosie's job.
Well, we were talking about Zolak.
That's what's going on here.
Someone said that I'm no Scott Zolak. I said, no, I haven't made any references to unicorns or show ponies, and I haven't asked where the beef is.
You're coherent.
Exactly. And I'm telling the people to score so they know what's going on.
Brady's back! 855, Pats 500.
He never left, so.
Wait, I don't get the Brady's back.
That's your quarterback!
Well, it makes no sense.
Brady's back! There had been criticism of Brady in weeks leading up. Where's the beef? Some
what does that mean?
Mild criticism.
Yeah,
not
mild
anything
criticism.
Real
not like he's done or anything, or he, that made no sense. I still to this day say that made absolutely no sense.
None.
Shouldn't even call it criticism, just observations that were not glowing. That's what I would say.
So that's not okay?
I don't know. Listen, I don't...
Because you can't say that he had his worst statistical season
he's
in 10 years.
He's demanding I'll take my Brady. I don't involve
And a lot myself. Of other people would too, Zolak. I mean, a lot of other people would take Brady over Manning too. He makes it sound like he's like the lone voice of support in the wilderness.
Oh, he's an athletic supporter, all right.
Okay. All right then.
At this point
in the program, you have to start asking yourself: Is
I'm
there
fine
any,
with the first two checks?
Is there anything we have up. Not talked about that we should have talked about so far?
Oh, that's an interesting question.
All the things you saw in this game tonight.
Well, I would say, you know, a guy that we didn't really touch on, Michael Buchanan, is sort of, I think, on that cusp of being, and maybe include Will Smith in this, guys that are kind of on that cusp of being rotational players on defense that might be relevant, that played tonight, you know, certainly aren't in that group of guys that are the key players that didn't play. Buchanan, I thought, maybe even throw Zach Moore in there. Didn't a couple of those guys didn't play the run very well. Zach Moore got way downhill at one point, and they were running to the outside of him. Buchanan, I thought, but then Buchanan had that sack later that was, I think, a little bit of a coverage sack, a little bit of a
oh yeah,
not exactly a dominant off the edge pass rush. And Will Smith, you know, had that cheap penalty on the legal hands to the face or whatever they call it.
Yeah, I don't like that new rule at all.
But I mean, those three guys, I think, are in the mix slash on the edge. Like, I wouldn't be stunned if Will Smith doesn't make this football team. Michael Buchanan, I wouldn't be stunned if he doesn't make this football team. But he's also, you know, playing some outside linebacker, playing some sort of doing the same exact things that Chandler Jones is doing. So I don't know if he's sort of the backup to that exact role. He's Chandler Jones' backup.
Yeah, I think the edge guys are interesting, and we talked about Jake Beckett a lot in the pregame. He wasn't even dressed,
right?
So that's a big problem for him,
well,
not being able to get out there.
That's how you look at it.
But yeah, well, the guys that played in his stead didn't play very well. I understand.
Oh no, I was going to say, you know, the guys that didn't dress are named, you know, Mayo.
Yeah, but did they not
Jones?
Dress?
Oh, I don't know.
He didn't dress.
Oh, he didn't.
He wasn't in uniform.
On.
He was in sweats.
He did get hurt the other day.
No, I know.
And then he came back.
And that's not good.
He didn't come back.
That's my point. But I see what you're saying. You know, if you didn't play, you're one of those guys.
I'm a star.
I think we know that he's not one of those guys.
Sebastian in Rhode Island writes in, when I see Garoppolo play compared
to... He'd be in Germany.
Compared to Mallett.
Already?
Sure.
That's a quick trip.
Sorry, Mark.
It's okay.
I'm spiraling out of control.
No, it's late. I get it.
The Donger need food.
When I see Garoppolo play compared to Mallett, I see more of an NFL quarterback already. His poise, he gives some hard counts, and even looks off defenders in the passing game. Do you see any of this in Mallett?
Yeah.
What's his Mallett?
I don't think Mallett lacks poise.
I think he stands
in the pocket. And
yeah, I don't know if I saw any of those things in Garoppolo. I saw accurate throws from Garoppolo. I thought he did a nice job of moving the team. I didn't really recognize hard counts.
That's
and
it. Garoppolo, Brady
off.
2.0. Brady 2.0.
You know, I thought he threw
Next
the ball.
Up, a supermodel wife.
I thought he threw the ball very well tonight.
Steve from Ontario. Now we're getting into the body language and celebration type emails. Guys, what's up? I'm wondering if anybody saw Brady's reaction to Jimmy G after he threw the TD. He almost gave him the cold shoulder. I know this performance tonight means next to nothing, but what do you think the fact that everyone is currently loving Jimmy G will bother Brady at all?
Yep.
Will it drive him more? Every kind of chip on his shoulder Brady can get is great, in my opinion. Thanks, guys. Steve from Ontario. I didn't notice it. Did you guys notice that?
I wish I was paying attention to that specific thing on the sideline, but I didn't see it, and I have a hard time believing it was anything but coincidental.
Like, honestly, does Tom Brady have anything to be concerned about or insecure about with Jimmy Garoppolo? No.
You play this game long enough, and happens.
I continue to say, I wish people had the 3 days of practice footage from Washington where it was Tom Brady, and then it was the other five quarterbacks on the field. It wasn't even close, the level of those guys. And I include RG3, who was the second overall pick in the draft and is seen as a franchise quarterback. Not in the league of Tom Brady. There's no reason to believe Tom Brady is worried about his job from anybody.
So this week, to look at a little bit, the joint practices Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday between the Patriots and the Eagles. Also,
I believe it'll just be
Tuesday and Wednesday, I believe.
Yeah.
I'm looking at a schedule.
There's a Friday game this week.
Yeah, the one I'm looking at on the website says Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. That's wrong.
Well, there is practice on Monday. I just don't believe it'll
be a joint practice. It's not a joint practice.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, sorry. I'm looking just the practice schedule. It's Monday,
yes.
Tuesday, Wednesday.
Correct.
Eagles are here Tuesday, Wednesday. I screwed that up.
Is that on our website right now?
Yes, it is.
Keep talking.
If you want to take a look. It doesn't say with Eagles. I screwed that part up. But it does say Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Tuesday will be with the Eagles.
Right? Is that right? Is that good or no?
Yeah, no, that's good. That's good. Okay. I was just concerned about some logistical things from a work standpoint, but that's not really giving us our answer.
Okay, then.
But, yeah, no, Tuesday and Wednesday. No, there's things that no one else needs to necessarily know about.
2 p.m. on Tuesday and Wednesday with the Eagles. 2 p.m. start time. On those days.
Correct. And right? I believe it. I don't think it's not determined yet, the time for the Monday.
Monday is to be determined.
My guess is that'll be earlier, and the Tuesday and Wednesday will be 2 o'clock.
Right.
Yeah.
2 o'clock. Paul's going to give the play by play. Are you? What do you got coming
up?
No,
we'll be done. We'll be done. We'll go 12 to 2.
So we'll go right out to the practice field from the radio show.
12 to 2.
It's unfortunate.
How much
people
of the
are raving about it?
How much of the Kerry Williams story will we get this week?
Oh, yeah.
We're going to get a lot of that, right?
I would think. I mean, I think that's one of those saucy topics. And he seems to be quite a DB.
He's not. He plays. Hey, I like that. It's good. He's crying and whining about joint practices.
Well, there was some questions, actually, and I never followed up on this, but some people were speculating the first day after he made the comments, he wasn't participating in practice. He was standing on the sideline holding his helmet, and some people thought he may have been, you know, suspended for the practice or in some way punished for the comments by Chip Kelly. Obviously, Chip Kelly is a Belichick pal or whatever. They have a connection there. And I don't know where that went, but, you know, he's not backing down from his cheaters' comments. He's reiterated those, and he will be here next week, I assume, and be interesting.
When he is out on the field, it should be interesting to see what the crowd reaction is to Kerry Williams, if they, you know, somehow get his attention. I'm kind of looking forward to seeing how this thing goes down with Kerry Williams coming to town after he was... Why does he not like joint practices? What's his problem? I don't get it.
No, he doesn't like the Patriots.
But he also doesn't, he's talked about not
he doesn't
like
joint practices.
He doesn't like joint
either.
Practices. He doesn't think those are good either. Like, oh, stop your crying, man.
Yeah, I don't know why he has an issue with, you know.
I also don't know, like, why Kerry Williams takes such a personal exception to the Patriots. I don't get any of this.
I don't know. I mean, he was on the Ravens. Maybe he has some built up hostility there.
Maybe
I don't know.
He sat next to Terrell Suggs one too many times and listened to him.
You know? He's an angry dude.
The Ravens hate the Patriots.
Right.
So we're probably going to hear a lot about that.
They watched the Super Bowl from the same place I watched the Super Bowl from.
Yo, couch.
Couch. Tuesday, Wednesday, joint practices. So give me the rundown of when you're on PFW in progress. What are the days?
Tuesday and Thursday,
Tuesday,
12 to
Thursday,
2.
12 to 2. I always forget when it is.
Well, you should be listening.
Well, I'm usually working at that hour.
No, you're not.
No, you're not.
I'm not on the air, but
your
I'm
show
working,
starts at 2.
Gentlemen, I am working.
What do you do for work between
There's
12 and 2?
Quite a bit of prep that goes on.
You know, all the guys that are in radio, they all talk about that. Oh, it's the show prep. It's this and that. How come we make magic without doing any of that?
Because we're just all naturally talented, gifted people.
Well, no, you said you need to do show prep. The gifted people are Paul and I.
Yeah, I was referring to me and Andy.
You're not included in this group of gifted people.
I was talking about this show.
No, his show prep consists of getting his Diet Coke from the fine folks at McDonald's in Brighton and doing all that other
stuff. Although you do have to write those other things, right? Your little flashes or whatever you call them.
Yeah, yep.
I would have a much harder time doing those than I do the four-hour show.
That's what his show prep is, though.
You would see you should see it sometime.
I don't want to.
You'd be impressed.
I don't know that.
I'm there when you're doing it. I've seen you.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think I could do it.
It's a lot of work. So, we're done here, boys. This is
thank
where
God.
The post-game program ends.
Oh, we don't have another segment after that.
This is the final segment here on the show.
I am really looking forward to the post-game because I think that's when you get the callers that have the emotion, you know, the raw emotion of what just happened, especially if they. You know, maybe they don't play as well.
Now, listen.
I'm not going to limit it to the callers. That's when you're going to get Andy with raw emotion.
Oh, I've been saying that to Fred. I go, you got to unleash him anyway.
Yeah, preseason game number one by the end. You know, things are kind of quiet now. We don't have a ton to draw from a game like preseason game number one. Once you get in the middle of the season, these 2 hours will fly by.
Everybody
will
be
drunk. What's going on? We're done?
I'll be ranting. And then the next day I'll have to reel it back in and apologize for some of the things I said the night before.
It'll be good. We'll do it again next week. I plan on showing up late, so just get ready for that.
Oh, good. So I'll just start the show.
Yeah, you guys
nobody.
Just start.
You're late again
up.
Next week.
Yeah, we'll talk more about that. Yeah, there's
nobody needs to know that.
Someone just caused. I just learned tonight of someone causing a problem for me. We'll discuss that off the air.
Oh, good.
But thanks for listening to the Patriots post game show presented by Xbox One for Paul Brillo, Andy Hart. I'm Mark Bertrand. Catch us next week when the Patriots take on the Eagles.
This has been the Xbox One Patriots postgame show with Mark Bertrand on Patriots.com radio.
Out of the I formation with Devil in the fullback for Ridley, who takes the handoff, started up the middle, runs it right. A foot race to the five. Ridley's going to win it to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots!
Next Friday, the Patriots kick off their preseason home schedule against the Philadelphia Eagles. Kickoff is set for 7:30 p.m. Be sure to log on to Patriots.com to tune in to the Xbox One Patriots postgame show with Mark Bertrand immediately following the game.
Brady with a check with me and a 3rd and 4 from the 10. Brady in the pocket has time to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots! Edelman has it!
For more news, analysis, and reaction to today's game, tune into Patriots.com radio all week long.
Log on to Patriots.com anytime for the most up-to-date news and information on your favorite team. We look forward to hearing from you on the next edition of the Xbox One Patriots Postgame Show.